NPR.
Camila Domonoske, NPR business reporter, welcome back to The Indicator.
Thanks for having me.
And you came prepared. You brought us an indicator for the show. That indicator is 248. What's going on there?
That is the number of SPACs, or special purpose acquisition companies, that launched in 2020. And that is four times more than the year before. And actually, more than half of all the companies going public last year were these things called SPACs.
That sounds pretty dramatic, but yeah, tell me, that's a big deal, right?
It's an astonishing fact. Wall Street is racking up SPACs. It's a SPAC attack.
Oh, no.
It's a pack of SPACs.
I'm going to have to take your microphone away from you unless you plan on doing the entire show in Dr. Seuss rhymes.
I only need like 25 more seconds. I've got this whole stack.
Absolutely not. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Cardiff Garcia. And Camila, you are here to help us understand what a SPAC is and why this ridiculous sounding acronym is actually the hottest thing in finance.
This is the story of how power is shifting on Wall Street, and billions of dollars are flowing in a new way, in a trend so hip, celebrities are getting in on it. Did you know, Cardiff, that Shaquille O'Neal has a SPAC?
Uh-oh.
A Shaq SPAC?
Heyo! And we'll be right back after a quick break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Salesforce, dedicated to helping growing businesses connect their teams, share information, and automate processes all in a single app. Learn more at salesforce.com/SMB. This message comes from NPR sponsor, Workday. In today's changing world, fast decisions need to be smart decisions. That's why Workday delivers quick insights to help your finance team plan for what's next. Workday. The finance, HR, and planning system. More at workday.com.
Okay, Camila Domonoske, lay it on me.
So first I want you to meet Austin Russell. He had a bright idea when he was just 17 years old. He founded a company that makes self-driving car technology. It's a sensor using LiDAR, which is like radar, but with lasers. And now it's doing really well. They have a big deal with Volvo.
What they're getting out there with for 2022 onto consumer vehicles that you can buy.
So he figured time to do the thing that hot young companies do and go public.
Yeah, let's explain that. So going public is when your company starts selling shares of stock on the open stock market. It means essentially that you have switched from being a privately owned company with just a small number of investors to being a company that almost anybody can invest in.
Right. It can bring in a ton of cash for the company to use to grow. And also, in this case, for Austin, he became literally the youngest self-made billionaire ever.
Wow. That's the sort of textbook Silicon Valley success story.
But the textbook way to do it would be going around to banks. The banks line up rich investors to buy the shares, and then they put them on the stock market for the first time. Initial public offering, an IPO.
You know, of course, an IPO was always on the course of our roadmap.
And the investment banks have a lot of the power in this process. They set the price.
And you got to do a bunch of paperwork about how awesome and safe and not at all fraudulent the company is, and that satisfies regulators.
But here's where SPACs come in.
SPACs, special purpose acquisition company. Yeah, okay.
They flip this whole equation upside down and backwards. You start with the group of investors who have money and want to put it somewhere it'll grow. So they come together and throw their money into a big old bag of cash. They know they want to invest it in a company later, but they don't know what company now, so they just write TBD on the side of the bag. And that metaphorical bag of money is what goes public, what issues shares.
Okay, so now you have this bag of money labeled TBD that you can buy shares in. And by you, I mean literally you or me, Camila, really anybody.
Right. And then somebody representing the investors wanders around with this sack of cash looking for someone with a growing company like Austin and his lasers. They say, hey, don't do an IPO. Let's just merge our TBD sack of money company and your actually has a product self-driving car tech company together, share our shares, abracadabra, the private robot car laser company is now public.
So it's like it's pretty cool. It's a much more efficient way to go public.
And it gives people like him a lot more control over the process.
Okay, so sure, these SPACs are the new hotness. And as you said at the top of the show, Camila, half the companies going public last year were SPACs, which is nuts, right?
That's wild. I mean, for a while, it was basically zero.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. SPACs are not actually new. They've been around for quite a while. They even used to have a super sketchy name.
Because they used to be super sketchy.
There were these blank check companies who really had a bad reputation.
Usha Rodriguez is a professor at the University of Georgia School of Law. She's tracked this history of SPACs.
And long story short, long history short, blank check companies started out as outright scams, really. But over time, they got more rules and restrictions because people noticed and regulators started applying these rules.
And that's how SPACs were born. But it's not a straight line evolution from fraudulent to legitimate. It's more like a ping pong ball. At first, these blank check companies were used to rip off investors, so there were new rules. But then at another point, big investors were actually the ones exploiting them because they had too much power.
And so this back and forth, I know, kind of gave SPACs a terrible reputation. And they were on the fringes of the financial world and never really took center stage, at least until recently.
Right. And, you know, it also illustrates this fundamental push and pull in financial markets. Usha says you can think of it as a dialogue. Like, think about the role of federal regulators. Their whole mission is to encourage investment in legitimate businesses while protecting investors from unscrupulous scam artists.
Dramatic pause, right? Like, or ba-dum-bum. Because those goals are inevitably in tension. Because if you make it easier for companies to go public, that means inevitably you ratchet down the protections that are in place to protect against fraud.
And SPACs exist right at the heart of this tension, trying to push money into companies, but also protect investors. And that's a big reason why they keep evolving.
Yeah, and speaking of evolving, like we said, a few years ago, these things were sketchy and founders like Austin wouldn't be caught dead taking a bag of SPAC cash.
That's right. They had such a terrible reputation. He said that second-rate companies would do them. But right now, the market is booming. Investors are eager to plow money into companies. Companies are kind of the bell of the ball, and they don't want to give up power to investment banks if they don't have to. And then some famous companies, like fantasy sports company DraftKings, took the plunge and went public through SPACs. Some well-regarded mega investors got involved in them.
Yeah, and of course, as with anything where big names get involved, that tends to enhance the reputation, and that's what happens here.
Yeah, basically. Once enough big names did it, it wasn't suspicious anymore. It was even, as Austin puts it, pretty cool. Although I should emphasize, there are skeptics sounding the alarm that these things can still be very risky. Plus, there are so many of them flooding the market, all looking for deals to make. Speaking of which, you know, Shaq's SPAC is still looking for the right opportunity. You could say he's sitting back, ready to take his whack.
Oh, my. Yeah. Okay, so big picture. markets have turned to SPACs, and it doesn't look like they're showing any signs of backtrack. Oh, I had
hey.
To. I had to.
Hey,
had
good to. One.
Camila Domonoske, thanks so much for bringing us this episode, which, by the way, I think may have set a new indicator record for most rhymes in a single episode. Congratulations.
Truly my pleasure.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Brittany Cronin and Dave Blanchard. It was fact-checked by Sean Saldana. The Indicator is edited by Patty Hershen. It is a production of NPR.